This is Logan Sekulow. We're answering your questions today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
I'm going to clarify that. This is Logan Sekulow. Executive producer Will Haynes is here. You know, that's our normal voiceover. But today we're not taking calls. Today we are taking exclusively comments from you, from social media, from YouTube, from Rumble, from Facebook. I asked you yesterday to leave in big bold letters a question or comment for today. And that is what we're going to do. We're going to do a bit of a ask us anything, if you will. And our social media team went and handpicked some of the best questions and comments. Or if we saw themes that were similar, we made sure that we were going to cover as much of those as possible. So stay tuned. We're going to take a lot of those coming up. You're also going to see some segments that I enjoyed from this last week. So you're going to hear, a lot of the questions are about the debate. So I thought it'd be important for you guys to hear just a few minutes of when we spent time with Sean Spicer this week, because Sean is the first person I called because he's so deeply invested in politics and deeply invested in the debate and the debate culture, if you will, and the rules and everything that implies. So I think it was good kind of primer before we get to those questions about the debate. There are a lot of people, though, Will, that are asking questions. Should we just kick off with one of them?
I think we should. Yeah, this is from Thomas. He says, you probably can't answer this. Well, we will.
I like the start of that.
Yeah. But would Pompeo potentially be Trump's pick for vice president? If not, who do you imagine it would be?
Sure. I mean, look, Secretary Pompeo's on this broadcast all the time. That's information that's between him and whatever, you know, the Trump campaign is. I don't see his name being floated out there as much right now. It was previously. And look, there were times where it looked like if Trump didn't run, Secretary Pompeo would have run. And obviously, he is not only a friend of the broadcast, as a member of the team, would have been great. You know, we would have obviously been happy. He's a brilliant guy who I really appreciate his work and all that he's done and all the great work he does for us here at the ACLJ. So sure, that's a name I wouldn't mind hearing. Do I think it's likely? You know, watch me flash forward a few months from now and I'm totally wrong and he ends up being the pick. But the names we're seeing right now aren't specifically his names. Now, it could be some other people you've heard mentioned on this show before.
That's right.
Or maybe some other members of the Sekulow broadcast team that have been making some waves, whether that's, I got her book somewhere over here, Tulsi Gabbard, some of the others. But you also heard Tim Scott. You heard Kristi Noem until the recent situation. I have to say, after going to the RFK event, the amount of Kristi Noem jokes, is enough to make me believe she's probably not in the running anymore.
Even sometimes you see her name still on the short list, but really the top two contenders you're seeing right now are J.D. Vance out of Ohio and Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina.
So Doug Burgum is on that list as well.
Yeah, and he's making the TV rounds.
Yeah.
Doug Burgum is getting his name out there in the Veep stakes. Yeah. I don't see that one happening, but he's definitely making a bid for it.
It would be only if President Trump was looking for someone who really isn't going to make any waves. No offense to you, Doug Burgum, but no one knew why you were on that stage to begin with when you were running, and the fact that you would be up there.
No offense, but I'm going to throw some major shade.
Well, I don't think that he's probably a bad guy. I don't know anything about him. You know, he was on those debates, and I still know nothing about him. If you showed me a lineup of 10 people, I don't know if I could tell you which one is him.
That's fair.
I mean, they look all the same. If you're looking for, though, someone who, not unlike a Mike Pence, who, by the way, I think, you can say whatever you want about him now, at the time, was certainly picked as someone to counterbalance Donald Trump. Someone who wasn't going to come at you with insults and, you know, salty language or mean tweets at the time. So you sometimes need that. But a Tim Scott does offer that. J.D. Vance, I mean, he can get pretty hardcore.
He went up to New York. He was there for the trial. You've seen some people within Congress that have been going up to New York that make you think they're trying to raise their stakes in the VP debate or situation.
I don't love that, but you know, it is what it is. People want to show their support. I guess that's fine. But yeah, when you're kind of showing your cards that much, when you're one of the people out there just being like, it seems a little, you know, a little aggressive. Like you're wanting it maybe a little too bad. Like, calm down. Go have your meetings in private. We'll get to that discussion. I mean, look, there was talk a week ago of DeSantis somehow figuring it out. There are talks continually. I think we'll know sooner than later. So what I mean by that is probably in the next month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I think you have to have it probably by then, midsummer, and maybe sooner. Maybe you'll find out today. Could get off this broadcast. It could have happened right now, and I just wouldn't know. Join us, though, coming up next segment. We're going to hear a bit of that interview we had with Sean Spicer to give you a little bit of a primer for taking more questions. And we got a whole list of them. I got them right here and my computer in front of me. We're getting to those coming up. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. back to Seculo. As I said, we're going to be taking a lot of your questions and comments that came in yesterday's show via Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. We've got all the comments together. Our social media team did a great job and compiled them. We're working through them right now as we speak. I'm also got my computer out here. I'm going to be going through them as well. But I did want to do a little bit of a flashback in this show to show you some of the great content we've had this week. We had on Sean Spicer to talk about the debates. I know a lot of your questions are about these debates, so I thought it'd be important to hear from him. He is someone who is deeply involved in how the Republican debates are handled. He's a part of that commission, was for President Trump previously, has helped set the standards for that before. So I thought he would be a great voice for you to hear from. Here is Sean Spicer. We'll be right back after Spicer with your questions. While we wait for Sean, maybe let's take a phone call. Let's go to Peter, who's calling in Virginia on line four. Peter, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I am ACLJ champion and reporting in. I love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work because you take real action. So really appreciate that.
I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, my comment is that so they asked for two debates. They schedule it this way, June and September. June, 2 months before their convention, September a month after. So if he really bombs bad, as we all expect he will, then they've got a couple months to recover at the convention and pick somebody else. And then it gives the guy a month to prepare for his next debate in September. That's my view.
That's an interesting concept there, Peter. I really think they're just rallying right behind President Biden. I think that's just what's happening right now. I think we're a little too late in the game unless there's some sort of true medical emergency or something like that is to occur. But Peter, I think that those dates are not picked arbitrarily. And let's see, do we have Sean? I think we're about to get Sean up yet. Not quite yet. But you are right that we are dealing with a time. We got him now, right? I see him. So I think we got Sean Spicer ready for us. Sean, you there? I wanted to get your feedback initially. Obviously, this morning we all woke up to that video from President Biden saying, I'm ready to debate. I won multiple debates. Let's do it. And I think, Will presented me what the rules were. There was even conversation of within those rules, could the Trump administration or the Trump campaign, are they going to want to do this? And they've agreed. It seems like it's happening. But I thought if anyone could comment on this, it would be you. So that's why I hit you up this morning. And I just want to get your initial thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's funny. I woke up this morning. We had a show planned for our episode tonight where we talk about inside the court, Tommy Tuberville, Andrew Giuliani are all deciding this. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to figure out how we're talking about this now. Look, I think the Biden campaign was in a corner, backed into a corner, and they thought if we lay out the most favorable terms, i.e. no third party candidate, we get to have it at one of the media outlets that is unbelievably deferential and favorable and part of our team, i.e. CNN and ABC. We get rid of the live crowd. Anything that benefits Trump, if Jill Biden moderates it, if I get two naps, then we might as well throw that out there and see what he does. And Trump, he keeps saying anytime, anywhere, and true to himself, he said, okay, I'll take it. I think it's interesting to me, though, because the bar is so low for Biden that he just has to show up. But at the same time, he's going to get such an advantage by being at CNN and ABC, who, I mean, it's not an exaggeration when we say are led by Democratic operatives. You can think about Jake Tapper and George Stephanopoulos and, I mean, Margaret Raddatz, who cried on election night. He has two very sympathetic moderators, and the bar is very low. He literally has to stand there for whatever it is, an hour, and then maybe take a nap or something in between.
I think looking at these rules too, some of them being also that the mics have to be cut off after a certain amount of time, and again, no audience. Somewhat it shows, and I'm no puppet here, but it shows some weakness coming from them. And the conversation of also being, it has to be the two of them. It can't be a third party, even though we know an RFK, though has no real path to win, is polling a good number, a bigger percentage than a lot of people will.
He'd qualify under the presidential commission's rules. But here's the thing, and this is why your show and my show are so important. Do you really think that Politico or the New York Times or NBC or anyone is going to report that Biden, made it clear that those were the conditions? No, they're not going to. And so this is the advantage. They are playing with house money because they know that no one's going to call them out. right? And no one's going to say to them, hey, that's ridiculous. Like, you don't get to dictate the terms. I negotiated the primary debates in 2016. I negotiated on behalf of President Trump for the NBC town hall. The idea that one campaign is dictating to the media would never be acceptable, except for the fact that this is Biden and they are going to do everything they can to help him.
Go ahead.
No, because this is it. Because at the end of the day, CNN's like, great, we'll do our part. Tell us what else we need to do to help you. But the idea that these guys, they would have told me to go pound sand. We set the rules. You guys can accept it or not, but we don't get to do this. I remember, just to give context, and I was going to share this with my audience later, but I'll tell you, it was funny. I have a picture in my first book, The Briefing. When I was working with President Trump, I went down to negotiate the presidential town hall on NBC. We were doing this sort of meeting with the Clinton campaign on board the USS Intrepid, where it was going to take place. We were meeting the NBC executives. And Trump looks at me and I said, hey, is there anything you want me to? And he goes, just make sure I go first. Now, that was being decided by a coin toss. And I thought, okay, I can't. So I called Eric Trump and I said, hey, Eric, they're deciding who goes first on a coin toss. Your dad wants to go first. I need some cover here. What do I choose? He goes, heads. I was like, okay, I just need, if I blow this, I want to say it was Eric's fault. Yeah,
I love that. So in this situation, though, you're in the Trump, if you are the people making these decisions, and Trump has accepted now, I think it's going to happen. I think that this, the debate, the conversation was, maybe it will, maybe it wouldn't. I think it's happening now. So the decision-making from the Trump point of view has got to just be, let's get out there in front of something, because at this point, all we're getting is this court coverage. So can we come up with something else here? And now he's finally agreed to do it. Maybe the Trump campaign thinks Trump can shine even under these conditions.
He's going to. Look, as much as Joe Biden's going to play on a home field advantage, Trump's got immigration, the economy, China, every foreign kerfuffle that's occurring in his advantage to exploit. If I were Trump, I'd get up there and say, this is my record. Here's what I did. Joe, talk about yours. I'm done. Shut my mic off. Shut it off and let Joe Biden talk. Well, and that would be the tactic, because Biden can't defend his record. The only thing they have is abortion. They talk about defending democracy, and yet they're kicking off the third party candidate. They're not allowing people to participate. I mean, the irony of what his rules are really about is shutting out any kind of dissension. So I do think that Trump is going to have a massive advantage on the issues and on his record. And that's going to be the key. My only advice to Trump is, don't get in your own way. Let Biden sink on his own. Just literally welcome people. Thank you for having me, CNN. Jake, give all the time to Biden.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think you're right. And that's why I wanted to bring you on here, because you've been uniquely in that situation. And look, I think RFK now, he has a big talking point now, which is he's now been not allowed. We only got about a minute in this segment left. So I want to tell people also to go subscribe to the Sean Spicer Show podcast, YouTube, Rumble. We'll put up the graphic, make sure they see it. But we'll also send it to people, because I do think you bring it inside, baseball voice that a lot of people don't have. It's why people, I hope, tune into you, tune into us, because it's a bit different than what they're ever going to get in the press. But it is a very interesting time, Sean, and I think I can't wait to hear your feedback on that night. So it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. I just booked my June 10th and 27th of September all up. But I'll give you one thing. RFK shouldn't be mad at Trump. Trump didn't exclude him. It was Biden that did it. Right. And that's what has to be said. Make sure that Trump, he doesn't fall into that trap of making sure that he gets blamed for this. This was all on Biden.
All right, that was Sean Spicer from earlier this week. Again, that was right after we heard about the announcement that there would be a debate. And he was the first person I called, because Sean Spicer is so deeply involved. That's why you support people like us here at the ACLJ. Because we got a lot of these people, if you will, old school wise, on speed dial, if you will, where I could call up Spicer, I could send him a text and say, hey, I'd love for you to come on our broadcast and talk about this. You, I think, are the expert in this, so it would be great. Make sure you subscribe, as I said, to his podcast, Sean Spicer Show. You can do that on YouTube, on Rumble, on Apple Podcasts, however you get your podcasts. He has great insight, and he's coming to you from a really interesting point of view. So I encourage you to do that. Hey, in the next segment, you know what we're doing. We're taking your questions and comments that came in yesterday from YouTube, from Rumble, from Facebook. We're going to hit that coming up in this next segment. Before I do, though, I want to tell you to please support the work of the ACLJ. We are out of those big, fundraising drives you've heard us do. We do those every few months. But it's still important to keep the work going. And there's one thing that's always important, and those are you that support the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. So I encourage you right now, go become an ACLJ champion. It makes you feel great. It makes us feel great to see that number go up. Over 20,000 of you have done it, 21 plus thousand have become ACLJ champions. And you could give, by the way, there's no set in dollar. I think there may be a minimum of $5 just due to transaction fees or something like that. $5 though you could come in at, or if you feel generous, you can go up as high as you want. And again, that gets charged on a recurring basis and you can cancel it at any time. And of course, it's a tax deductible donation. Coming up next though, as I said, for this Friday, I'm going to be taking your questions and comments. I got some here on computer, some been printed out. Will went very old school. He went and he printed papers out. So you'll see me reading these comments, and Will as well. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. If you can become a champion, become a champion. If not, though, look at the great free content we provide here, not under a paywall, just incredible content from some of the leading people in all of these categories. We'll be right back. It's time. It's time to take your questions or comments. I've got the printouts in front of me. I've got the computers in front of me. We're going to take as many comments as we can that came in on yesterday's show. We asked you to just put Friday. A lot of you did. Our social media team went through. They picked out what they thought were great topics of discussion. Will, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, let's go ahead with this one. This is from Robert, and it says, could the ACLJ represent President Trump in his court cases?
Interesting question. Obviously, we are involved in certain ones that do impact President Trump. So we had the Colorado victory where they're trying to keep him off the ballot. We fought that that was a violation, that that was wrong, and we won. So there are ways that we are representing him, but he's got a lot of lawyers, a big team that's on all these different cases, and they're all different specialties. But where the ACLJ can get involved in these cases, we do.
Right, exactly. And as we always say a lot of times, and if you were to go to aclj.org/help, if you needed legal help, it does have things that are within the scope of the organization and the law firm.
Yeah.
Because different law firms, they participate or they specialize in different forms of law. So we wouldn't necessarily get involved in every sort of legal case out there.
Why don't you give a little breakdown of the Colorado situation?
So people that's
don't,
right.
If they don't remember.
So we actually represented the Colorado Republican Party, and we actually represented Republican parties in many different states that where there was a challenge to ballot access because they were trying to claim that President Trump violated the insurrection clause within the 14th Amendment. We were able to engage on behalf of the Republican parties because they represented Republican voters and people that were afraid their voice would be silenced. And because that's a constitutional issue, that's within the framework and in the scope of what our organization does. And that is one that, as we saw, we won at a lower court level and it went all the way up. And then we lost at the Colorado Supreme Court. They ruled in favor of taking him off the ballot. That then got expedited to the U.S. Supreme Court, where we briefed it there, and the justices unanimously decided that, no, Colorado Secretary of State can't just kick him off the ballot. That's not how this works, and we prevailed, and many of our actual arguments were the rationale for why he was able to remain on the ballot.
So maybe in short, the answer is yes. In some of these battles, we can get involved. We're going to keep going with these comments, so thank you, though. Some of these names are fun, because by the way, these come from YouTube. They come from Rumble. Some people are using screen names, if you will, if you're an old school person like me, because I don't know what you'd say, call them handles.
Handles is the screen names,
like I'm talking about Instant Messenger. P-Dub. P-Dub asked a question. Said the first debate.
P-Dub Designs. P-Dub Designs.
Well, you gave him a plug. There you go.
Sorry.
The first debate is pre-convention. This is about the presidential debate, obviously, that was decided. Why should RFK Jr. be accepted? Could his inclusion be used as an excuse for Biden to back out of the debate? This takes you back to a conversation we had yesterday. As you know, a couple nights ago, Will and I went to an RFK Jr. event as press. Again, to clarify, we were not donors. We were not supporters. We went as invited press, which obviously we thanked them for doing that. And we were honest with how that event went and so on. One of those big questions that came up, though, was did he actually qualify for this debate? And this is another question. Why should he be accepted? Well, I think he's making the argument he should be accepted because he is meeting the requirements of which CNN, not necessarily President Biden, but what CNN is requesting.
Or at least he believes that by the time the debate gets around, which is not until June 27th, that he would meet those requirements, right, the polling requirements, the ballot access requirements. But I think that it is an interesting question because, one, it could give Biden an excuse to back out if he says, well, CNN, that's not what we really agreed to. Yeah. I think it'd be a bad political move because then he would look like he's afraid of debating RFK.
Which I think he is.
Right.
I think he is. There's a reason he put those rules in there. It's because he's afraid that that is going to siphon more Biden voters to RFK Jr. Whether you like him or not, he is pulling from both sides. If you probably go to more red states, he's probably pulling from Trump. If you go to more blue states, he's probably pulling from Biden, or he may be just pulling almost 50-50. So it may not be a spoiler. We've seen some of those polls come out to say he makes a big impact, but that big impact actually doesn't impact the final number. So we should see. Let's keep going, Will. You got the next one?
Yeah, that's right. This is from Judy, and she says, I continually have issues posting content on Facebook and even commenting on your videos. I'm certain it's because of my conservative views. Is there anything the ACLJ can do to fight back against big tech censorship?
Absolutely. I'm going to encourage you right now, Judy, or anyone who feels this way, go to aclj.org/help. Obviously, we have to do a pretty deep dive to make those proof. But we have a huge audience on Facebook, and Facebook respects the fact that we have a huge audience on Facebook. They want to make sure our audience is served, or at least they will put on the airs to make us feel that way. But we do have lawyers who specify in social media and social media censorship. So if you have a compelling reason to believe this, and I'm talking to all of you out there, I'm going to encourage you right now. And again, the ACLJ does all of our legal work for absolutely no cost, for free. We do that because there are supporters like ACLJ donors and ACLJ champions, monthly supporters. We can't do that without you, obviously, but we're never going to charge our clients. So don't worry about you're going to get contacted by a lawyer and then hit up with a bill. That doesn't happen here. If you feel like you have a real case, Judy or whoever it is watching right now, that you feel like you are being censored because of your political views, and you don't feel either way that those are because you have said something that is, you know, violent or anything that could be considered real reasons to have you limited on social media. If you feel like it is just because you are a conservative or a Christian or whatever it is, I want to hear from you. Go to aclj.org/help, fill out that simple form, and put on there, Logan sent me. You know, that will help me know that's coming from you. So let's keep going. Another one came in. Let's go here. Which one were we at?
Gwendolyn.
It's another RFK question. Gwendolyn said, President Trump said RFK is more left-leaning than Biden, and I believe he is right. Again, what is your opinion? Here is what I'm going to say. They spent very little time on policy when we were at this event. Now, I've studied his policy pretty aggressively because he's someone who I think is very interesting. He has flip-flopped on a lot of things. His life situation, what he feels about on abortion, has really rapidly changed. He is someone who put out a statement called More Choices, More Life. And his concept was that if you were to not pass laws to limit abortions, but you were able to offer mothers, single mothers that are under the income line, certain income line, free childcare or things like that, supplies, kind of do what a lot of pregnancy resource centers do, to be honest,
right?
And provide that funding. His idea was to take the funding from Ukraine and to put it towards that. Obviously, that's going to appeal to a conservative base, but you are saying don't limit anything by law. Then he was confronted with this and they said, hey, are you saying no limits like full term? And he said, yes, full term. Obviously, anyone who was on the conservative side sort of panicked. He then responded with, you know what? I didn't know that there were full-term abortions happening voluntarily. I thought this was all life of the mother. I thought this was all those situations. That's what I was referring to. I would not be for that. After a certain weeks and certain viability, that's what I'm going to go for. The thing is it's refreshing to have someone who listens. However, that also means it's someone who is really not educated on those topics.
And I do think that as far as the left-right paradigm goes, yes, he was a Democrat. He is liberal in his policy. Yeah. So yes, that is left wing. However, what he's trying to remove himself from is that paradigm of left-right politics and say, I'm an independent voice, I'll listen, I'll do different things. But is President Trump wrong that he's has a lot of left, far left policies, big government policies? Yeah. No, he's not wrong about that. Not at all.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see even the people that turned out to support him. A lot of them are people I said would have voted in a traditional Trump probably way, more of a Republican or a libertarian Republican. But I think because of his stances on anything, including COVID and the lockdowns, that brought a lot of people to his base that maybe wouldn't support any other topic. And that was really the only topic addressed the entire night we went to at the event, were the lockdowns and the fallout from everything with COVID. All right, we'll be back with more questions and comments coming right up. Stay tuned, second half hour, right now.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Second half hour of Seculo. We're going to be taking more comments and questions that came in. I don't want to show, you know, all the love to the people that gave the comments or questions yesterday. So you know what? Throw in the chat right now if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook. Just tell me where you're watching from. I know a lot of times you get a little intimidated. You don't know what to ask. You know, it's okay. I got a lot of questions still on the docket here that we're going to get to. So just tell me, hey, Logan, I'm watching from... where? Wherever. Where could they be watching from, Will?
It could be from Doug Burgum's home state of North Dakota.
See, just learned potentially. That. Potentially. Fact right. I learned about Doug Burgum today.
He's the governor there,
Vice
Logan.
Presidential running potential person. He's the governor of...
He's the governor of North Dakota. That is, you know, correct.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. I'm beyond. I'm always honest. And my honesty said I had no idea.
All right.
I had no idea. I thought he was another successful businessman.
Do you want to take another
question? His hair looks like someone who is a successful businessman.
Well, he's a successful politician. He's a governor.
Nice coif.
Let's go ahead and take a question real quick. Okay. This is from Kathy. She says, what can Congress and the Senate do to help override Biden's delaying of help to Israel?
That's a good question. You know, right now we are certainly at a very divided time, and Israel has become a topic that is sadly become polarizing. But we have seen movement. Right. And I think, like I said, the protesting, I believe, of the college campuses actually led to a bit of an awakening that this is not what the American people actually want, that this is a smaller group and they're maybe loud, but they do not represent all.
And what we have seen, and we had Secretary Pompeo on the show yesterday, and who talked about as well, is that now there's reports that there's $1 billion of aid that is being approved to go forward to the Israelis to help them in their military and security needs.
$1 billion in aid.
And what this, the kind of the conflict that even Kathy is highlighting is that the Congress just passed another aid package allocated. Amount of money, earmarked amount of money that can be used for aid to Israel. Now, there's a lot of discretion within the Department of Defense, the Department of State, and the executive branch in general about how that's distributed, what it is that's distributed under that. And so there, that's where the conflict comes up. They can approve the money, but then there are a lot of discretion that comes through the executive branch. I think, though, what we've seen is the pressure and kind of the outrage by some of the congressional leaders that said this is a little bit of a bait and switch. When you got us to push through this aid package for Israel and Ukraine, but now you're all of a sudden pausing shipments of munitions. You tricked a lot of people, it feels like, into getting your deal across the finish line, but you're not going to follow through. And I think to some degree, that's where they've switched it up a little bit and maybe are saying, okay, well, we are going to put forward some of this aid. We'll see how that plays out. We're keeping an eye on it, and you know that we'll be talking about
it. Yeah, and you can also sign the petition. Go to ACLJ.org, defend Israel, defend those students. Make sure your voice is heard as well. That's a very important thing to do in our society right now, is to just get awareness out there. The media can be your worst enemy, but also people like us in the media can be your best friend. We will help get your voice out there. Go to ACLJ.org, sign the petition, be a part of it right now. Hey, in the next segment, speaking of ACLJ work, I'm going to flash this back to just a couple days ago as well, when we had our ACLJ attorneys live in Texas who were arguing about a teacher who was told she cannot pray anywhere that a student may possibly see her. I want you to see this. This was an incredible segment as we took you live there right after they got done arguing. We had Christy Campagnone, who's one of our best, brightest young lawyers out there. She did an incredible job. You're going to see that. And then following that, we'll be back with so many more questions. We'll try to kind of rapid fire through these because we do have so many that we want to get to of your questions or comments that came in during our broadcast yesterday. Again, check in, say hello, support the work, though, of the ACLJ. This is Friday. It's Fundraising Friday. How about we call it that? Is that fun? I don't know if that's fun. But what it is for me, it's fun Fundraising Friday. I like that. Support our work. We are doing this. And look, we couldn't do things like support a teacher who was told she couldn't pray anywhere in public view of a student. We wouldn't be able to do those things without your support. That is the 100% the way this organization works. It's not by, you know, there are some people who give in big donations, but that is not our baseline. Does not come from that. It comes from people like you who give $10, $20, $40 a month. So go to aclj.org, be a part of that community today, and become an ACLJ champion if you can, and we'll be right back. Seculo, hey, hit me up in the comments. Tell me if you like these question and answer segments. Do you like this? Is this something you like? Would you like to see more of it? Is this something I like doing? I think it's a lot of fun. But I do want to take you over to Texas. It was a segment we did earlier this week. You know, when we were talking about what's going on in the work of the ACLJ, there is a case currently about a teacher who simply wanted to pray at the flagpole in quiet, in private, before the day began. And she was reprimanded, told she couldn't do that. She contacted the ACLJ because not only was she told that, she was told she could not do this in public view of any student potentially. That meant in her car. That meant anywhere a door could be open and they possibly see that she's praying. Oh no, what will these children do? Well, we sent our ACLJ attorneys to take it head on. And I am sure this teacher, without the ACLJ, could not have done this, could not afford it, could not have, you know, those legal fees get piled up. But the ACLJ provides this work at absolutely no cost. So this case, this argument, just happened this week. We were able to take you live to Texas. I want you to see that again. And when we come back, we're going to start taking the rest of these questions. And I got a lot of them, and we'll get right back to them. Again, they'll put in the comments whether you like this or not. Let's take you back a couple days. It's always important for us to discuss the important legal work happening at the ACLJ. We always give you the top line news, what's going on. You're going to hear about that. You're going to hear our commentary. But we are in court, and we're always in court for you. And right now, we are joined in studio by CeCe Heil, senior attorney, as well as senior managing counsel Christy Campagnone, who is in Texas, live, just leaving court. Christy, we'll get to you in a second. CeCe, why don't you set up what's going on with the ACLJ, and then we'll kick it to Christy in Texas.
Sure. This case involves our client, a teacher in Texas, who was praying at CU at the Pole with other teachers well before any students were there. And she was approached by the principal and literally told that the school policy is that teachers are barred from any kind of religious activity in the presence of students, which is completely unconstitutional policy. And so the ACLJ was contacted and we got involved, and we are able to, you know, allege with this case that students and teachers don't shed their constitutional rights when they simply walk through a schoolhouse door. And so that's what this case involves. We had a preliminary injunction that's going to enjoin the school from actually enforcing that unconstitutional policy. And that's where Christy was today in court in Texas.
All right, Christy, give us an update. Tell us how things went. You just came out. Again, a lot of our Texas viewers and a lot of our Texas listeners are chiming in the comments, shocked that this is happening in their home state, because you would think, you know, we report this, you'll hear, but the most recent ones now we've had, you know, Arkansas, Nebraska, we've had Georgia.
Yeah.
And now in Texas. So I guess you're coming out of the court, which again, just ended, you know, within the last hour or so. Give us an update.
Yeah, so we had a 45-minute battle in there with opposing counsel. So we were asking the court to enjoin the school from enforcing this policy against our client. And the school came out of the bat swinging, saying that our client was trying to pray in the student group session with the students, which is just not the facts at all here. She was praying before the students even arrived at the flagpole, when the principal pulled her in to his office and chided her and the other teachers because he said there were students outside the front door who were waiting to come into the rooms. So it had nothing to do with students being at the flagpole. So we went to the judge and said, look, it's unconstitutional to say that she can't, in her private capacity before school starts, be praying with the other teachers at this pole. She also has asked specifically to have Bible studies in her classroom. And the current policy meant that if a student walked into her classroom while she was praying with the other teachers, she would immediately be in violation of the school policy and could be fired. So we've asked the judge to enter an order protecting her right, her constitutional right. And I think he took it into consideration. The other side mischaracterized our client a little bit, but we argued back and stated the record clear. She's not trying to pray with the student groups. She's just trying to have personal prayer at the flagpole.
So you see, maybe you can break this down too. Yeah. And then what's the next steps? What does this look like? If we're in court today. Mm-hmm. This process could get strung along. It could wrap up quickly. But you had also recordings.
Yes. That's interesting.
And that's a very interesting, you know, maybe difference in this is that she was actively recording.
Right.
So now they're caught.
Right. So on your timeline, because this is a preliminary injunction and it's basically an emergency motion, we're hopeful that the judge will rule very quickly. And that will mean that while this case goes forward, our client's constitutional rights will not be infringed. She'll be allowed to pray. But what is interesting is once we did have to file the case, which is disheartening, like you said, in Texas,
yeah.
After we did file the case, of course, the principal kind of changes his tune of, oh, no, that's not what I said. I didn't say they can't pray in front of students. I just said, you know, that flagpole was already reserved for students. But guess what? Our teacher, our client, recorded him.
Right.
And so we literally have him saying, you can't pray in front of students. That's part of our board policy.
And not even in front of students, but where there's a potential for students. I believe there's a part of that recording, I was reading up on that last night, where it says something about, what about my car? And they're like, well, if the car is parked out front, you never know. A student right. could walk by. Sometimes these become power-hungry faculty.
Right.
And you have to stand up to them. And I'll pitch back to Christy. Christy, yeah. and you're there live when this is happening. I think that's important for our people to see. You know, you're on a phone. We know that, you know, it's not going to be perfect quality here. But because the ACLJ is actively involved in these situations, it's easy to hear when we tell you one of these stories and we're like, well, we sent a letter and they backed down because they're scared of us. But there are sometimes, more often than not, especially in these situations, where it gets to this level and could go even further.
Exactly. I mean, we tried to work through this with the school. We sent email after email saying, is there a way that we can come to some kind of resolution? And they started ignoring us. And so that was the time to pull the trigger and say, okay, we're filing. You've just ignored us for a month. And we have our clients' rights are being violated every single day that she can't be praying now. So
there we go. Look, support the work of the ACLJ. If you're in the comments right now on YouTube, if you're on Rumble, I'm going to ask you to pray for them. Pray for our team who is out there right now. Throw into the comments, pray for Texas, pray for the ACLJ. I see a lot of our Texas. Texas responds big. Texas is one of our biggest states of support. And oddly enough, you know what second number two is typically? California. California and Texas speak out for the ACLJ. Because in Texas, one, these are just big states, a lot of people. But also, California feels underrepresented, and Texas is always strong. But there are moments like this, there are times like this, where it is, and I'm seeing the flood in comments, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Because look, as much as your support, become an ACLJ champion, all that matters, when we have our team, and some of them are the brightest, they're young lawyers, they are out there fighting. They need your support. They need your prayers. Christy, I'll let you get back to what you're doing. I know you're having, you're out there doing the good work and doing the hard work, and we appreciate it. So I'll let Christy go so she can get back to her day, because this is what especially our young legal team, I want to say that too. A lot of these people have been, you know, they've been lawyers for years now. I don't want to say young, and I feel like that's giving a pejorative, but they're out there, they're hungry, and they're fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting on the front lines, and that's great. And I would say, if you have a situation like this, and this is what's great, is I'm so thankful that teacher called us, because you don't, like I said, the Supreme Court has been very clear. When you walk through the schoolhouse door, whether you're a teacher or student, you don't shed your constitutional rights. So if you've had a constitutional right you think that has been violated, you need to reach out to us at aclj.org/help, and we will get one of our attorneys right on it.
Yeah, we want you to do that. I want to encourage you. Don't feel like your case is too small here. This is a single teacher in Texas who just wanted to pray, was told she couldn't, didn't know what to do. Contact the ACLJ. We took on the case at no cost. We can't do it at no cost without your support. And that's why today I'm asking you to become an ACLJ champion. I mean, we're in court today. You've heard that. The teacher was banned from praying anywhere a student may possibly see her. Not only that, you know about our support of Israel. We're going to kick it in the next segment, next half hour, over to Israel. We're going to talk to Jeff Balaban, our head of ACLJ Jerusalem. So the fact that we have a great team of young lawyers in Texas right now fighting for a teacher whose rights were violated, who feels like she could not express her faith. I hope you enjoyed that segment, hopefully showcasing the work of the ACLJ to you. You see how important that is. Let's take a couple questions. We'll at least take one. We're going to take a lot in the next segment. All those questions have piled up. We're going to take as many as we can. But a question come in from Gerald probably on YouTube, said, when do we expect an opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court on presidential immunity? Well, it could come at any time, but the term ends very soon, in the month of July. So we're going to know, Will. I mean, if we're going to be just in the next 8 weeks, max.
Right. And so the Supreme Court is typically out of session by the end of June, the first week of July at the very latest. Mm. So when you're looking at that calendar, they didn't take this one necessarily on an expedited basis. Yeah. So
we're actually talking a lot less than that. We're talking 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
Right. Just a few weeks, we should be hearing from the court on this. I assume it probably will be one of the later opinions that come, probably looking at really that first week of July. It's a controversial one. They like to save those for the end to make us wait and have fun.
They like to wait and then also get out of Dodge. That's also, truthfully, sadly, that's the way it works now, because you'll have people protesting in front of the houses of Supreme Court justices, because sadly, that's the world we live in right now. All right, we get back. We're going to take as many more of these comments and questions as we can. So many are great, and I appreciate them. And then we will continue on. I want to know, though, do you like this? Yeah, I said that earlier. Do you like it? Put it in the comments. I'm going to read some during the break. Tell me if you like these kind of segments, these kind of shows. We give you a little taste of what's happening in the world of the ACLJ, but also answer your questions or comments this way instead of just over the phone. All right, we'll be right back on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. It's time to take more of your questions and comments. Let's just get right to it. Kathleen, she said, the radical protesters love to claim Israel is committing genocide. Have the decades of Palestine, in quotes, committing religious, ethnic, and genocide been forgotten? Well, sure. It doesn't even feel like the decades have been forgotten. It feels like the genocide that happened 7 months ago was forgotten. How quickly we all forget. What happened in October? Thousands dead, thousands murdered. And what happens? Israel gets about 2 weeks grace period to be the good guys. And then what happens? Of course, the media decides that Israel is bad and the Gaza Hamas-led terror regime is somehow the ones being oppressed.
And remember, right after that, when some of the earliest protests that started happening, about 2 weeks after, as you said, there was that grace period, but you saw protesters chanting from the river to the sea. And a lot of people at that point were like, I don't think these protesters realize what they're saying.
I don't even know if they know what river and sea we're
talking about. They're using the slogan, but that's referencing wiping out all of the Jewish population of Israel and the state of Israel. So they're calling for genocide. However, what we now know is either they learned in those 7 months after that what it meant and liked it, so much so to set up encampments and say that they're fine with Hamas, or they knew all along. And I kind of think at this point in the game, it's the latter. They did know all along, and they were calling for genocide openly in America.
Yeah, sadly, I think either people forgot, or as Will said, they've just accepted it and they like it. Let's keep going. Jeffrey said, what can we do to stop states from dropping the Electoral College? Maine just voted to do this. Now, Will's got more information about this. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do first. Maybe you're a little unsure on how the Electoral College all works. And guess what? We have a side project of the ACLJ called Bald Beagle. It's our children's channel on YouTube. But you know what we've learned? Is that a lot of adults need this content as well. And one of our most popular videos is, what is the Electoral College and why is it important? Go watch that, but then we can answer this question, because, Will, this did come out of the state of Maine, and we are seeing maybe a long road to moving towards away from the Electoral College into a popular vote. And what we know that means, as of right now, with the way population is set up, you would have basically the coasts deciding your election and no representation for people in the middle.
So this is something that many states and particularly people that want the Electoral College to go away and want a national popular vote have been pushing for a long time. And so it's kind of a funny way to get at this end game where they're trying to get enough states to individually say, we will allocate our electoral votes, not based off of the vote within our state, but based off of what the national popular vote is. So instead of, say, Maine, for instance, instead of winning Maine would let their people vote, but then would say, okay, this candidate won the popular vote nationally. All our electoral votes will be going to that candidate.
Ridiculous.
And so this is a thing called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact that they've been trying for years now to get ahead. And right now, states that total 209 electoral votes have signed on some sort of legislation.
So it's getting there.
It's 270 to win.
We gotta watch this.
If they get to 270, enough states to get to 270, those states will be deciding the election by popular vote of the United States. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be all 50 states. Yeah. It just has to be 270 to flip the scales to that. It's a dangerous move.
Very dangerous.
Maine just got added to the list. There are several.
What are the other states? Do we have them?
There's California, Oregon, Washington State, Minnesota, New Mexico, Colorado, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, several of the other New England states.
So guess what? Everywhere that would be considered the flyover, as they say, as they negatively insult you if you're watching in any of those states, guess what? Your vote would not matter. That's what they want. They want popular vote only. Why? Because they want representation from the most populated areas, which are where? Those two, you know, kind of coastal areas with the biggest amount of liberal elites. Let's just be honest with it. That's what it is. All right, let's continue on. But we're going to watch that, the ACLJ. That's something we should take. Look, there's some suggestions that have come in, by the way. I'm going to take those into consideration as well. I think I want to hear from you. What are your suggestions? What would you like the ACLJ to get more involved in that maybe we are not involved in right now? Put that in the comments as well. I'd appreciate it. Where are we at, Will?
Oh, well, let's go to that other question that says, and it was unattributed question. I didn't. It was a handle that I could not read because it was probably an audio generated one. But it says, can we have someone at the ACLJ consistently mention specific socialist tactics so the American people can see why and how their country and constitution is being subverted and why it's imperative that the American people have an answer when they're being gaslit about so-called conspiracies?
I think that's a great comment. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, just like I just did. Tell us what you'd like to hear. Your voice is most important. We are a donor-driven organization. Without you, this doesn't happen. So if you have things that are important, bring them up. Now, I will refer to you, as Will told me earlier, any segment you've seen with Harry Hutchinson, the professor, the good professor, he tends to bring this topic up.
That's right. He's very good at knowing the history of socialist thought being introduced mainly through the academy, where he's spent
always through schools.
Right. A lot of his background being a professor, but also what he studied, is seeing how that's where it starts. It starts within the academy, within schools, and then by the time it reaches the mainstream, it's become a situation where most people are even numb to hearing about it and not knowing the sources of it.
All right, let's take another question. One comes in from Resilient, said some of us are concerned with the confidence Biden is suddenly showing, including challenging Trump's debate. Is there something they don't know or that they know that we don't? Specifically, should we anticipate election shenanigans in 2024? Shenanigans, you better believe you better anticipate them. You know, whether they happen or not, we better be ready. The other thing would be, I know, Will, you mentioned the confidence. I do think, as much as this, I think, is a Hail Mary moment.
Right.
Well, that's what you think, right?
I think it is. I don't think it's confidence as much as they're freaking out that they may not win because of the polls. And so they are trying desperately to find a way to right the ship.
Yeah, I think that that's a way to look at it. There is that way to look at it that, look, Joe Biden, regardless of his age and all of the things he's been to, in a debate, has sometimes shined a bit. Okay. In high pressure moments, sometimes he shows up. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't get cocky. Don't go in there thinking these debates, especially when they're being run by CNN and ABC, that you're going to come in, Trump is going to just, you know, destroy them, and that's what's going to happen. There's a good chance that's what happens. But if you are in this Trump campaign right now, I would encourage you to take this seriously. We kind of saw what they did at the State of the Union. Okay. There are times where Biden can pick up the pace a bit. And there are moments where this happens. I'm not saying it's going to. I'm not saying I want it to. I am saying don't get cocky. Actually pay attention to what's going on. Make sure that you're playing by the rules and make sure they're playing by the rules in these debates. And of course, in the 2024 election, because at all, you know, instances, they are going to try to win, as the Republicans should too. It's within the realm of the law. We need to be doing it. Whether you're a Republican, honestly, if you're an independent, you're a Democrat. The gloves have come off. All right, I'm going to encourage you to put in the comments whether you like this or not. Did you like these questions or comments? We took a bunch of them. I appreciate it. I'm sorry if we didn't get to you. But support the work of the ACLJ. It's fun fundraising Friday. I don't know if that's going to stick.
It's not going to stick, Logan.
I think it's going to stick. Somebody get a graphic made. All right. Until then, though, go to aclj.org. Look at all the incredible content. If you're new on YouTube, subscribe. If you're new on Rumble, follow. Do all of those things because that gets the word out there, keeps these messages alive and outside of the legacy media. We'll be back on Monday with more on Seculo.